This morning's scripture reading is taken from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that we might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Word of God.
Come, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that as your word is being preached, as your Holy Spirit works in our heart, help us, Lord, to appreciate the wonder and the amazement of Christmas, of what you have done for us. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you heard of the Christmas Wonderland in Singapore? Some of you have heard, some of you shaking your heads, huh? This is a carnival, it's like a carnival at Gardens by the Bay. And the Christmas Wonderland, it promises a stunning light display, there are amusement rides, carnival games, and a light and sound show. You can even experience snow. I don't know what that tall thing is called at Gardens by the Bay, you know, it will drop snow for you. And you can even bring your furry friends, your pets, for a pet night. Of course, not forgetting the dining and the shopping opportunities. I'm not trying to sell koyo. but if you observe Christmas around us, it has become an occasion, a season for everyone, and a public holiday for all. And you don't have to be a Christian to celebrate Christmas. The fun and the festivities surrounding Christmas are nice. But if we think that this represents what the occasion is about, then we would lose the wonder and the significance of why Christmas is given to us. What is the real meaning of this day? So what is this season about? What is the message of Christmas? Now, our passage today highlights that Christmas is about God coming to us in an amazing way to save us. So we heard the passage. John opens his gospel with this very profound statement in three verses. He says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. He is in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. Now, if we look down to verse 17, John was obviously talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the rest of the gospel is about Jesus. Whatever that Jesus has taught, whatever that Jesus has done, John records for us. So, question, why does John begin his gospel in this way? Such profound statement. Now, if you look at Matthew's narrative, Matthew's open with a genealogy. And genealogies are very important, especially Jesus' genealogy, because it confirms all the prophecy that is talked about Jesus, that he is the chosen king from David's line. So Matthew highlights this very clearly. If you look at Luke's account, on the other hand, records the birth narrative. Luke's focus is to tell us the events before and after Jesus was born, and how the angel confirmed that this is Israel's king, the king that we've been looking for. And then the angel appeared to Mary and shepherd with the message about Jesus, this child is very special. But if you look here in John, he takes on a totally different approach. John doesn't tell us genealogy, he doesn't tell us narrative. What is John trying to tell us? What does he mean by, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God? Now, John is taking us beyond genealogy, right even before then. And he's very quick in the very first statement of his gospel to lay a fundamental fact about the Lord Jesus Christ. And his opening sentence, he established the divinity of Jesus Christ. So if you are a Jew or a Greek or anyone reading the book of John, the very first statement will tell you who Jesus is. The phrase in the beginning, we should find it familiar, because this is the very first words, the very first phrase in the book of Genesis. The words in the beginning here means the beginning of history, beginning of creation, at the root of creation. And John purposely echoes this opening phrase of the Bible. In the beginning, what is he trying to do? He's establishing the link in Genesis at creation to our Lord Jesus Christ. The word is repeated three times in caps, right? Now, the word in the beginning, if you see Genesis chapter 1, how did God create the world? Through his word. Each day of creation, God said and something happened. God said and something happened. That is the power of God's word. God do not need someone or something to create on his behalf. He speaks and creation comes to being. That's the power of God's word. And now John said the word that God speaks of has come in a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. So when John describes Jesus as the Word, he's alluding Jesus to his eternal existence as God. Jesus was there as God was there, beginning of creation. And John tells us very explicitly that all things, in verse 3, all things were made through him, Jesus Christ. Without him, nothing was made. If you look at Colossians, Paul says something very similar. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him, for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Point is this, John, Paul, whatever the gospel says, Jesus Christ is the divine expression of God. Everything about God, his word, his speech, his power to create is expressed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically what John is trying to do is to extend our boundary, the boundaries of the readers of his time and us, to understand very clearly who Jesus Christ is. He does not give us an option that Jesus is a good teacher, a founder of a religion, or Santa Claus. John established in the very first statement of at the start of his gospel that Jesus is the eternal God through whom all things were created. He existed before creation. He shares the attributes of God. Without Jesus, all of us won't be here. Nothing was made. So, brothers and sisters, as we come and understand Christmas, Christmas is not about a helpless baby in a manger. He is God right at the beginning. If you want to know God, know Jesus. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in God. And what Jesus says is what God says. And since God, Jesus is God and Creator, then definitely he deserves all worship. That's basically what John is trying to tell us in a very profound opening of his gospel. So, brothers and sisters, as we come to the close of this year, and as we understand the first few verses of John, how would you describe your worship of our Lord Jesus Christ? If he is God, Creator, how would you look back in the year and describe your worship of our Lord Jesus Christ? What attitudes and behavior do we need to address to reflect that Jesus is indeed Lord of our lives? Verses 1 and 3, John is crystal clear about the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he makes it clear to us. But perhaps what is more astonishing is what Jesus did. What did God do for us? And that is something beyond our imagination. Because in verse 14, he tells us that this word that he talks about, the one that is at the beginning of creation, with God in creation and created all things, now became flesh and dwell among us. The word dwell literally in the original language means to pitch a tent. So the word pitched a tent and dwell is to live and to settle or to take up residence. So God eternal, who created the heaven and the earth, pitched a tent, took up the human flesh, pitched a tent among us, among humanity. Now, this is not the first time that something similar has happened. In the Old Testament, God dwells with his people through the tabernacle, which is like a tent. In the Old Testament, the tabernacle is that tent which represents God's presence. And whenever the people move from place to place, there's this special group of people called the Levites who will dismantle the tent and then set it up again wherever they rest and they move. The tabernacle or the tent is very, very important. It's a holy and sacred place of the people of God. It is where the glory of God is. And only certain people can enter into this tent at certain occasion. And only Moses in the Old Testament can meet God in the tent face to face. But there's a difference now in John. The word became flesh means that God took up the human body and became human as one of us. Eugene Peterson in the Paraphrase Bible, the Message, he paraphrased this verse as the word became flesh and blood and moved in our neighborhood. In other words, God came close to us. He has taken up residence among his people through Jesus Christ. The theologians have a big word to describe this. It's called incarnation. which is the action of God taking our humanity. And the incarnation states that the eternal Son of God took into union a human nature. Now, in so doing, Jesus did not cease to become God. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, which the Presbyterian Church refers to as a worthy expression of our faith, it states this about Jesus Christ, that he continues to be God and man, two distinct nature and one person forever. That is the incarnation. Okay, so we heard that Jesus is the eternal God with the Father through whom the world was created. Question: why? Why did God, as the theologians would say, condescended, in other words, lowered himself to live among us? Why? Why would God do such a thing? In verse 4, John tells us, in him was life, and he came to shine in the darkness. Jesus came to give life and as a light to the darkness. Now, what is this darkness? The darkness is a metaphorical way to describe our human darkness. We are separated from God. Something is holding us back from God. The darkness we face is perhaps we are ignorant about God. There's sin, or there's something that is holding us back from God. The song that we sang just now, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and our sins, release us. Let us find our rest in thee." It tells that our longest, deepest desire is to be set free from whatever darkness, whatever fear, and we can only find it in Jesus. Now, Athenaeus is an early church father, very important figure, a theologian in the 4th century, 300 AD. He's a very important figure because one of his key contributions to early church history was to refute heresies and false teaching that were floating in the church. And one of his significant work is a Christian classic, a book that he wrote called On the Incarnation. Now, it's a Christian classic. Let me spend a little bit more time. It's a translation from, so the English is a bit wobbly, if I put it that way. But some of his words has profound meaning worthy of our reflection. So in his book, he wrote that God in creation reserved special mercy for the race of men. And Athenaeus, what he means is that God has created us in his image. We are meant to reflect God, becoming like God in reason, in expressing the mind of God, certain characteristic of God. God created us to be blessed and to experience true life with God. However, we rebel against God, and Athenaeus wrote that we are the one who have gone astray and became proud. And so for Athenaeus, he says that we did not guard the grace that was given to us. We throw away our birthright of heaven for death. And we no longer live in the paradise, but is dying outside of it. And he wrote this: it was our sorry case that caused the word to come down, our transgression that was called out his love for us, so that he made haste to help us and to appear among us. It is we who were the cause of his taking human form for our salvation. In his great love, he was both born and manifested in a human body. So we have a great predicament. We rebelled, we became proud, we no longer acknowledge God, but the love and the grace of God is what caused God to come as one of us. And Athenaeus, he asserts that Jesus' incarnation is the solution to our human problem. And Jesus coming as human flesh makes it now possible for us to access to this invisible God through his visible works. It's very interesting that Athenaeus would link Jesus' incarnation to his resurrection and to our benefit that we now share in the resurrection life. And he says this, that this union with the immortal Son of God, with our human nature, all men were clothed with incorruption in the promise of the resurrection. Now, for the human race would have perished utterly had not the Lord and Savior of all, the Son of God, come among us to put an end to death. And it happened that two opposites, Marvel, took place. The death of all was consummated in the Lord's body, and yet because God was in it, death and corruption were in the same act utterly abolished. Jesus came to die, but then his death, he abolished death because he is God. And Athenaeus wrote this very famous line, "He was incarnate that we might become God." Now, Athenaeus does not mean we become God, like God, literally. God is small caps there. He is saying that when we have faith in the one who has conquered death, we gain eternal life through Jesus Christ. And we have now, by God's grace, inherit the resurrection power as Jesus has demonstrated it. So Jesus came in the flesh to die on our behalf, but because Jesus is the Word, God eternal, and life that he promised to give, we now have hope in the resurrection. The early church fathers, they marvel at the incarnation. Why God would come as one of us? Another early theologian by the name of Thomas Aquinas in the 11th century, he said this about the incarnation. Among all the divine acts, there is nothing that can be taught quite so high, as marvelous as this, that the true God became in Christ the true man. Brothers and sisters, the incarnation reveals God's love for us. Why would God do such a thing? It is only because he loves us. He loves you so much that he would do it. He does not want to see us perish in our darkness, and so he took on the human form to die, to save us eventually. The incarnation also highlights that God is a personal God who desires a relationship with us. It's amazing. God pitched a tent among us. And it tells that he wants to be up close and personal with his people. He wants to connect. He wants to have communion with us. So sometimes we think of God as high and mighty up there, far removed from our cares and our concern. But that is not true. The incarnation tells that God has chosen to be with his people. Can you imagine God taking a human body, living with our brokenness, our fragile body? Why would he do such a thing? It tells of his love and his desire to be intimate with us. C.S. Lewis puts it this way to help us imagine. Imagine lying at your feet is your dog. Imagine for that moment your dog and every dog is in deep distress. Some of us love dogs very much. If you would help all the dogs in the world to become like men, will you be willing to become a dog? Would you put down your human nature, leave your loved ones, your job, your hobbies, your art, your literature, your music, whatever that you like, choose instead to be of intimate communion with your beloved, the poor substitute of looking into the beloved's face and wagging your tail, unable to smile and speak? Christ, by becoming man, limited the thing to which was most precious thing in the world, his unhampered, unhindered communion with the Father. Very thought-provoking. Will we give up something so precious, like our life, the people that we love? Will we be as generous as God in giving so much to someone who deserves so little? But that is what God did through the incarnation. So why did God come as one of us? In verse 12, it tells us, and this is God's invitation to us, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Can you imagine this profound statement that God would do all this, sacrifice everything for you to become his child? Brothers and sisters, what will be your response to what God has done for you? We're going to sing this song. I'd like to invite the worship team to come. And as we sing this song, let us reflect on what we have heard. Let us reflect on the lyrics of the song. And then I will pray for us as we make a response to the Lord.
Of his perfect love. and then sing this song. Hiding
us, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is for those who believe. He's the Lamb who was given, slain for our pardon. His promise is peace for those who nothing. Come, it is the offering. Come, see what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born.
Some of us, perhaps we have lost this wonder of Christmas, the meaning of Christmas. Maybe you feel that, you know, I've drifted away from the Lord over the past year, distracted by many things. The Lord invites you to come, to search, renew your wonder of Him. He came for you. Will you come back to Him? And perhaps there are some of us that you have not prayed to receive Jesus Christ and you want to believe in Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing more worthy than what Jesus has done for you. There's no God who will go to such extent to love you, to come for you, die for you, and to give you life again. So today, if you want to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God eternal, that you came to deliver me from my darkness and my fear. You came to be that light in my life. And I acknowledge, Lord, that I am a sinner. And I'm sorry for what I've done. And I believe, Lord Jesus, that you are God. So forgive me, Lord. Thank you that I am your child today. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.